Chapter 9. Neighborhood Ministry. We should feel it our special duty to work for those living in our neighborhood. Study how you can best help those who take no interest in religious things. As you visit your friends and neighbors, show an interest in their spiritual as well as in their temporal welfare. Speak to them of Christ as a sin-pardoning Savior. Invite your neighbors to your home and read with them from the precious Bible and from books that explain its truths. Invite them to unite with you in song and prayer. In these little gatherings, Christ Himself will be present, as He has promised, and hearts will be touched by His grace. Women needed in various branches of the work. In the various branches of the work of God's cause, there is a wide field in which our sisters may do good service for the Master. Many lines of missionary work are neglected. In the different churches, much work which is often left undone or done imperfectly could be well accomplished by the help that our sisters, if properly instructed, can give. Through various lines of home missionary effort, they can reach a class that is not reached by our ministers. Among the noble women who have had the moral courage to decide in favor of the truth for this time are many who have tact, perception, and good ability, and who may make successful workers. The labors of such Christian women are needed. Be friends of the people. If one member of Christ's household falls into temptation, the other members are to look after him with kindly interest, seeking to arrest the feet that are straying into false paths and win him to a pure, holy life. This service God requires from every member of His church. This is home missionary work, and it is as helpful to those who do it as to those for whom it is done. The kindly interest we manifest in the home circle, the words of sympathy we speak to our brothers and sisters, fit us to work for the members of the Lord's household, with whom, if we remain loyal to Christ, we shall live through eternal ages. "Be thou faithful unto death," Christ says, "and I will give thee a crown of life." Then how carefully should the members of the Lord's family guard their brethren and sisters? Make yourself their friend. If they are poor and in need of food and clothing, minister to their temporal as well as their spiritual wants. Thus, you will be a double blessing to them. Be a friend to the family in need. The sisters can do much to reach the heart and make it tender. Wherever you are, my sisters, work in simplicity. If you are in a home where there are children, show an interest in them. Let them see that you love them. If one is sick, offer to give him treatment. Help the careworn, anxious mother to relieve her suffering child. All to have a part in the work of God. Our sisters can do much. Our sisters are doing comparatively nothing when they might do very much. Christ is searching the life and character for fruit, and He finds many professed Christians, like the fruitless fig tree, bearing nothing but leaves. The sisters can work efficiently in obtaining subscribers for our periodicals, in this way bringing the light before many minds. The distribution of tracts and the work of Christian canvassers and colporters can be done as well by our sisters as by our brethren. Satan is busy in this department of his work, scattering literature which is debasing the morals and poisoning the minds of the young. Infidel publications are scattered broadcast throughout the land. Why should not every member of the church be as deeply interested in sending forth publications that will elevate the minds of the people and bring the truth directly before them? These papers and tracts are for the light of the world and have often been instrumental in converting souls. Our publications are now sowing the gospel seed and are instrumental in bringing as many souls to Christ as the preached word. Whole churches have been raised up as the result of their circulation. In this work, every disciple of Christ can act a part. Let the leaflets and tracts, the papers and books, go in every direction. Carry with you, wherever you go, a package of select tracts, which you can hand out as you have opportunity. Sell what you can, and lend or give them away as the case may seem to require. Important results will follow. Be sure we are working for Jesus. Our sisters are not excused from taking a part in the work of God. Everyone who has tasted of the powers of the world to come has earnest work to do in some capacity in the Lord's vineyard. Our sisters may manage to keep busy with their fingers, constantly employed in manufacturing little dainty articles to beautify their homes or to present to their friends. Great quantities of this kind of material may be brought and laid upon the foundation stone. But will Jesus look upon all this variety of dainty work as a living sacrifice to himself? Will he pronounce the commendation upon the workers, "I know thy works, and how thou, for my name's sake, hast labored"? All can do something at home. Our sisters have been too willing to excuse themselves from bearing responsibilities which require thought and close application of the mind. Yet this is the very discipline they need to perfect Christian experience. They may be workers in the missionary field, having a personal interest in the distribution of tracts and papers which correctly represent our faith. All cannot go abroad to labor, but all can do something at home. We should, as Christians, have an abiding sense that our time, our strength, and ability have been purchased with an infinite price. We are not our own to use our moments in gratifying our fancy and our pride. As children of the light, we should diffuse light to others. It should be our study how we may best glorify God, how we can work to save and bless souls for whom Christ died. In working to bless others, we shall be gathering strength and courage to our own souls and shall receive the approval of God. Hundreds of our sisters might be at work today if they would. Those who are now doing nothing should go to work. Let each sister who claims to be a child of God feel indeed a responsibility to help all within her reach. The noblest of all attainments may be gained through practical self-denial and benevolence for others' good. Sow beside all waters. If our sisters would spend their God-given time in earnest prayer to God and the study of His Word, He would impart to them heavenly wisdom, that they might know how to labor through the grace given them of God to save the souls of those around them. Our sisters might begin with missionary work in their own households. Then they would know how to work intelligently for their neighbors. If they would become interested in this kind of work, they might be sowing the seeds of truth. We must sow beside all waters, though we know not which will prosper, this or that. This kind of work pays, for its results are as lasting as eternity. It is represented as bringing to the foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, materials which are not consumable and perishable, but as enduring as eternity. The first work for us individually is a personal consecration to God. Co-workers with God. Pray for personal friends. God will do for us greater things than we can ask or think if we will only confide in and trust Him fully. Shall we believe? Shall we move forward in faith, in hope, in courage, clinging with firm grasp to the Mighty One? Let all those who profess the present truth carry out its pure and holy principles in their lives. If our sisters would only feel that they can do very much, if they will consecrate themselves to God, they could be a great help. If they would talk and labor in heavenly wisdom among those with whom they are acquainted, they could do a good work. If they would talk less upon unimportant matters and pray more earnestly and take the cases of their personal friends who are not in the truth to Jesus, pleading with Him to enlighten their minds, their prayers might do much good. They certainly will if offered in faith. Our sisters may be co-workers with God. They may be able, when this life here shall close, to look back upon their lives not as a barren desert, but upon buds, flowers, and fruit as the result of their life's toil. Let the youth be trained to serve others. Organize for service, young men and young women. Cannot you form companies and, as soldiers of Christ, enlist in the work, putting all your tact and skill and talent into the Master's service, that you may save souls from ruin? Let there be companies organized in every church to do this work. Will the young men and young women who really love Jesus organize themselves as workers, not only for those who profess to be Sabbath keepers, but for those who are not of our faith? Instruct in practical methods of doing missionary work. That which is needed now for the upbuilding of our churches is the nice work of wise laborers to discern and develop talent in the church that can be educated for the Master's service. Those who shall labor in visiting the churches should give them instruction in the Bible reading and missionary work. Let there be a class for the training of the youth who are willing to work if they are taught how. Young men and women should be educated to become workers at home, in their own neighborhoods, and in the church. Youth can hold meetings. Before I presented these matters, holding meetings in Australia, to the students of the Avondale School, a few had been diligently engaged in missionary effort, visiting families, distributing reading matter, and holding Bible readings in places from 1 to 5 miles away. But many of the students here, as in most other schools, were acting upon the theory that it was wisest to learn all they could while in school, and wait till after school closed before undertaking any active missionary effort. As we studied what would be for the best interests of the New South Wales churches and for those students in the school who had had an experience in working for Christ, it was thought best to encourage persons of some experience to leave the school and spend the week in visiting in the churches, in helping to conduct the meetings, and uniting with the workers in these churches in earnest work for those needing help. 7 were thus sent out from Corinbong, besides Elder Haskell, who spent the week with the Stanmore Church, upon which he has bestowed so much efficient and loving labor. When this matter was first considered, by some it seemed a serious thing to lose 1 week out of the school term. It had cost much to reach the school, and apparently this was the last opportunity for attendance, and each lesson was very precious. But after consideration, the service was accepted cheerfully, the cross was lifted, and as it lifted the bearer. None of the workers settled down to have an easy time, but they moved rapidly from place to place. They met a hearty reception. They found lonely souls hungry for spiritual encouragement. As they watered others, their own souls were watered. When these workers returned to the school, they were full of joy and courage. Their faith had developed with labor, and they were ready to cheer and help their fellows. Just then there was throughout the colony a visitation of the influenza, in a severe form. It appeared first in the cities, and then worked its way through the country. As might be expected, the school was one of the last places visited. There were many sick all around us, and the students who are in the class of practical nursing freely offered to go, when needed, and care for the sick. So they were sent out, 2 and 2, to give treatments and to nurse those who were very feeble. These experiences prepared their hearts to appreciate and receive instruction regarding the value of missionary effort as a part of their education. As this subject was presented in the school and in the church during the week of prayer, students and teachers sought to act upon the suggestions, and opportunities for labor were found in all directions. Sabbath and Sunday afternoons, from 16 to 20 students are engaged in holding prayer meetings, Bible readings, young people's meetings, and preaching services in from 6 to 10 different places. One result of this work we already see: the workers are greatly blessed. Other results may be seen in the future. A missionary letter to Maria Chase. Maria Chase was James White's niece, the daughter of his sister Mary. Dear niece Maria, I have a desire to write you a few lines. I have not lost my interest for you, although I have become very much discouraged in regard to your case. As the prospect of your becoming a Christian has seemed to lessen, I have felt a painful anxiety in regard to your future course and prospects. I do not know as I fully understand your present state of mind, and I may not be as prepared to help you as though I did. I should know better how to address you if I knew that you sincerely desired to become a humble Christian. I have thought that perhaps you desired this, but that on account of your late failure to carry out your purposes to become a Christian, you have become discouraged. You may have thought that the confidence of others in you was so much shaken that they could not have faith in efforts you might make in the future. But Maria, if the Christian life has charms in it for you, and you see the sinfulness of sin and your lost condition out of Christ, I advise you to commence again in earnest. In meekness, seek the Lord. You may be very distrustful of yourself, for you have reason to be. But God is true, and I advise you for your soul's sake to try again and earnestly seek to become a follower of Christ. This work no other can do for you. It is a solemn work between God and your own soul, which must bear the test of the Almighty. Let me entreat of you to seek for those things which make for your peace. You have all your life been anxiously, worriedly seeking for earthly pleasure and worldly enjoyments to satisfy the longing mind. But a thorn has been found in every earthly, worldly pleasure. With you it has been disappointment upon disappointment, and life has been a failure. You have not filled the purpose on earth which God designed you should. Your mind has been allowed to dwell upon frivolity, fashion, and show. Appearance has been the altar whereon you have sacrificed soberness of thought, high and elevated considerations, and eternal interests which are as much higher and more valuable than earthly considerations, as the heavens are higher than the earth. Satan has strewed the broad and downward road with tempting flowers, but those who are allured to death in this road learn by experience that these pleasing flowers wither as soon as grasped. They yield no rich perfume, but a disagreeable, sickening odor. Maria, do you intend to devote to God the little time that is allowed you and secure your happiness here and salvation hereafter? I beg of you to take hold of the work in earnest. No longer worship your personal appearance, which cannot bring you into favor with God in the least. God prizes moral worth, says Peter, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. 1 Peter 3, verse 3, 4. Seek for this meek and quiet spirit. Get rid of this spirit which controls you to a great extent. Overcome this desire for change, and seek meekness, seek righteousness. I believe that God will yet be gracious unto you, if you turn to Him with your whole heart, and make it your first and primary business to learn of Christ. Learn how to serve Him. Study the Bible, beseeching God to enlighten your mind to understand its sacred teachings, which you have so long neglected and despised. Turn your attention to the words of life. Search the Scriptures. All your life long your heart has been in rebellion against God. You have trampled upon His offered mercy, choosing the pleasing things of the world and the service of Satan rather than the service of Christ. Yet Jesus, in unbounded mercy, still invites you to choose Him as your Savior and become a child of God, an heir of glory. You can choose life and salvation if you will, or you can choose to worship self and devote your precious hours of probation to making your person attractive to please the eye of the worldling and the sensualist, to receive flattery from lying lips, and at last reap that harvest which you have been sowing, corruption. The poor mortal body which has been your idol, your God, will be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. O Maria, how heartsick it has made me to see your mind almost wholly taken up with your own person, your dress, your appearance. Your mind seemed to be on a constant stretch to improve your appearance. The Word of God exhorts us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. How much has this important lesson been studied? You have coveted the approval and the praise of those who are lovers of pleasure and the enemies of God, while you have had no elevated desires and determination of purpose to seek, above everything else, to show yourself approved unto God. It is He who grants you life and every good thing which you have enjoyed. I leave these hastily written lines with you, praying that they may do you good. Again, I beseech you to make a business of seeking the Lord. Pray much. Weep and pray. Humble yourself before God, relying alone upon the merits of a crucified and risen Savior, one who maketh intercessions for just such sin-polluted souls as yours. If others do not help you as you think they ought to, do not be discouraged. With you, it is a case of life or death. Angels of God are watching with interest to see whether you will be overcome by Satan, or whether you, yourself, will be an overcomer, and through the efficacy of the blood of Christ, bruise Satan under your feet. Will you choose Christ as your portion forever? Pray, Maria, earnestly that God will reveal to you yourself the sin and corruption of your own heart. Let this desire be ever with you, for it is important for you to see yourself as a sinner in order for you to feel the necessity of pardon through the blood of Christ. Let your second prayer be, Lord, reveal to me thyself, thy mercy, and the value of thy blood. Lay hold on everlasting life. You have proved the worthlessness of earthly things, and it has been perfectly astonishing to me that you yet seem to manifest so little interest in becoming a Christian. But I can understand it now. Your personal appearance is your idol. God cannot dwell in your heart or thoughts where self rules supreme. Your good appearance Satan means to use to your own destruction, and, if he succeeds, it will prove to be the greatest curse that ever came upon you. What is show and appearance merely? What are good looks alone without moral worth or true goodness of heart and nobleness of mind? They are a mere outside gloss, which pleases a certain class of minds, but which will perish in the day of God, leaving only sinful, corrupt deformity. Seek heaven, seek true humility, and God will then direct your path.